Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be together. No, just kidding. We want to welcome our online viewers. Thanks so much for joining us. We're glad that you're with us today or whatever day that you'll be watching this. I have the privilege of kicking off this series, which I'm really excited about. Greg and Michelle are in Canada, so they're having a great time of ministry there, and send their blessing and their love to us. So we are embarking over the next 8 weeks over summer on a series called Why. And we're going to be looking at like our values and the things that we hold in high regard as a church to look at why we do those things. Some of them, like today, I'll be talking about why corporate worship or why giving. Why do we have the mission that we have? Why do we have elders and people on eldership, prophetic testimonies and the like? So over the next 8 weeks, we're going to pick those out to speak more about the why behind what we do. I have found personally that when I understand the why about something, it can be inspiring to me, or it helps me understand the reason behind it. It's not the what or the how, but it's the why. And as the why inspires us, it fills us or it quickens us to something. It produces a feeling or a thought. It inspires us onward. So I was thinking about this. We're talking about parenting. How many have kids? Kids in the room? So I know that there comes times when I go, all right, kids, hey, we got to pick up this room or pick up. We have a great room in our house and everything's in there. So we go, hey, it's time to, you know, clean up the room. And usually they run and go, oh, I'm so glad you would ask me to do that. We were just waiting around for some form of instruction to pick things up. I'll snap out of my dream. No, but honestly, it's like, okay, guys, hey, let's pick up the room. And they're like, oh, well, what do we have to do? We just got to clean up this room. Well, how do you want us to do it? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you take this section, you take, you know, this and tidy up and take this trash bag and empty this and put this over there. And it's kind of like, oh, this is, and then you get, well, why do we have to do this? And, well, I really want to take you guys out to ice cream, but we need to finish this first. Boom. Before I grab my keys and get to the door, it's immaculate. It's spotless. It looks beautiful. And their tongues are hanging out at the door. When can we go, right? But the why makes a big difference. It makes a big difference to understand why do we do it. And so the series that we're looking at is really looking to the aspect of why do we do the things that we do? What's the heartbeat behind it? What's the reasoning behind what we do? And so today I have the privilege of starting with why corporate worship. And I want to start with this. For me, corporate worship inspires me. It really did. I don't know about you guys, but like today when we were worship together and singing and stuff, and the Lord was speaking very clearly, wants to be a way maker. Man, I love that. Anybody else? I love that. And our whole experience on a Sunday is all worship. Everything we do is singing, and being together in this room is a part of it, but everything from the message and the testimonies that come through and prayer afterwards and greeting and fellowshipping with one another, all of that is the opportunity for us to gather together in corporate worship. See, corporate worship is where we worship God, allowing Holy Spirit to lead us to accomplish together what we cannot do apart. It's something that we get to do together, but outside of us being together, we can't actually do or accomplish. There's this amazing dynamic that God created so that when we come together, we each get to bring a piece or a part. We each get to participate. And sometimes it's to receive, and sometimes it's to give. But this amazing thing where he uses each one of us uniquely different to accomplish the bigger picture of when we come together. I always think, you know, every Sunday we gather, you guys know the Lord's up to something, right? Yeah. Hey, man, he's up to something. He's doing something. We don't get here and he goes, oh, wait, you guys are early. I couldn't get here in time. No, every week we come, this I know, the Lord's up to something. And I love leaning in and trying to figure out through the different aspects that we get to experience, what is the Lord up to today? What is he wanting to speak to us? What is he wanting me to leave with? How does he want to grow and challenge us in all of the aspects that we get to participate together? If this is something that Greg said that I want to bring back, but he said, if the Holy Spirit only answered every question to us personally, if he only spoke to us personally, we wouldn't need the corporate gathering. But you know what? We need the corporate gathering. because the Lord loves to speak through everything. How many of you guys ever watched a movie and the Lord brought it back around and spoke to you through a movie, right? Or you saw a painting or a picture and he brings it back around. Or you hear someone make a comment, or you see a couple engaging. I mean, there's so many things that the Lord uses to speak to us and to show us things and reveal things that it's amazing. And I love the fact that that's how he does it. Brings us all in and speaks through so many different elements. One of the things that Greg said that I think is really important for us to catch too in the last series we were in on the Holy Spirit is he talked about the difference of in us, the Holy Spirit being in us, the Holy Spirit being on us, and the Holy Spirit being among us. And all of them are different. The one key for me is I can't experience the Spirit among us unless I'm among us. Does that work? Okay? So for us to experience that among us Holy Spirit movement, we've got to be together to see that. And it's I love watching it. It's so fun. So before I get into the things I want to talk about, I want to preface this corporate worship from this perspective. We all know that it is fitting to worship the Lord, and the Lord is worthy of our worship. Amen? It's fitting for us. I just have a few scriptures I want to run through real quick in Psalm. Psalm 33, verse 1 says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him." Who's righteous? I got you. Everyone should raise your hand. We're all righteous in Christ, right? So it's fitting for us. It's just, this is normal. This is what we do. It's not like a coat that doesn't come on all the way. It's fitting. This fits for us to gather and to worship the Lord and to praise his name. Psalm 100, 4 through 5, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Enter his gates. We have every reason, no matter how difficult our day is, no matter how trying the situation we're in is to come and to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And then how about Psalm 107? "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with joy or songs of joy." We were created to worship God. Amen? Created as being to worship him and bring thanksgiving regardless of what we're facing and doing, and to do it corporately and also personally. But what I want to do today is I want to look at corporate worship, this whole experience, and I'm going to focus mainly on Sunday morning, but this could be in your small groups and stuff like that, but where the body of Christ comes together, and why is that so important? Because the truth is, I can worship in my personal time with the Lord. I can sing songs, I can read scripture, I could be inspired, I could do that, I could listen to someone speaking online and be encouraged in that, but it's that among us aspect that we need to step into, because it's really amazing the things that God loves to do in that among us. So with that in mind, I want to talk about why corporate worship. Number one, it brings realignment. So corporate worship has the ability to bring a realignment to us. All right, here we go. How many of you guys ever hit a curb with your car, right? Some of us have taken out the curb, but I mean, just hit it. You know, you bump into it, and then when you go driving again, you can make left turns on your own. Ever done that? I used to have a 66 Mustang when I was in high school, and really nice car, but hit a curb, and the alignment was way off. I could literally tap the brakes and make a left turn without touching the steering wheel. That's why I don't have it anymore. But after you hit a curb, you need a realignment. You have two choices. We either get realigned so that it'll go straight, or you begin to adapt to the unalignment. So I'm just going to hold myself, you know, the steering wheel here, and then you borrow someone else's car, and you're like, what's wrong with your car? It's turning, you know? But instead, we have the ability to take it to the alignment shop and say, hey, could you fix this? And they realign it. That's what one of the things that corporate worship does, is it brings an alignment. I don't know about you guys. There's times when I walk in and there's heaviness or there's something in my day or something that just happened or whatever it is, and I'm walking in a state where, praise God, that he's going to use our corporate gathering just to go, just a little tweak to get my focus where it needs to be, to consider the things he's saying or doing. Another thing that I think of, too, when I think of realignment, where's the people wear glasses, contacts? You go to the eye doctor, and he goes, okay, let's check your eyes, and I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, when I wear them, I can see. And they go through that whole thing. They put that machine up to your eyes, and you look through it, and they go, okay, this one or this one? And I'm like, they're the same. How am I supposed to pick one of these? Like, this one or this one? So I'm like, I guess this one. And so they go through it, I don't know, maybe 7-8 times, keep showing different lenses, this one. And then they click the machine, and you look it through it, and they go, okay, this is what you see. And I'm like, yeah, I can see everything. And then they move it over. This is after. And I'm like, I can see clearly now the rain. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how did I even see before? You know, and it shows you this just little by little, this little. And that's, it's so kind of the Lord that in the corporate gathering, when we come together, he just makes these adjustments, these subtle alignments, so that our vision, we can see more clearly. We can accomplish the things that he wants us to, standing in a place where he's aligning us to be. So everything goes into right perspective when he brings alignment in the corporate setting. The other thing that happens is there's an infusion of hope. So when I was leading a church in Texas and some things got a little difficult, I had the pleasure of meeting Greg and Michelle. And part of that was a friend of mine gave me a CD on the attendance of the bride. Anybody ever heard that, read that? It's in his book and stuff. And I remember he gave me the CD, and it so spoke to me in multiple ways from what God was speaking to me and what I had been through and stuff. I wasn't sure if I should punch the guy that gave it to me or hug him. It was one of those, like, this is amazing. And so as a result, I called Greg, and we chatted on the phone, and he said, why don't you come down here, and we could talk, and we could pray with you. So I flew out. I stayed with the Haswells, and we just prayed together, and it really was one of those moments where it just really helped me. And then afterwards, he said, hey, we have a conference coming up. I mean, would you consider coming? And I said, well, what is it? And he said, it's prophecy, prophets, and praise. Anybody here for that? Come on, where are the few? Hey! I just remember I came in, first experience at Northlands, and there were chairs, like, right up to here. So when you sat in the front row, you were literally, like, looking up. And it went all the way back to the windows. I mean, this place was packed with people. And I was encouraged already. I had met some leaders. They prayed for me. I felt like, man, I'm ready to go. And then a woman from England who's visiting, they somewhat like what we do on Sunday mornings, we have an elder who's leading the service, and if you have a word, you could bring it to them. Well, they had a designated person over here, and if you had a word or something, you could take it to them, and he was administrating how that would go. And so a woman got on stage from England, and as she became walking up, I felt like the Lord just said, hey, I want to speak to you. I want to show you something. I want to tell you something. I mean, it caught me off guard. I was kind of like, okay. And then I see the woman coming up, and I kind of wanted to get lower in my seat, you know? And so I was sitting right back there in that section. And so she comes up, and she goes, you know, I have a word for somebody here. And it's the gentleman right there in the brown shirt. And I knew she was talking to me. And the guy in front of me had brown on, too. And he stood up, and he was like, oh, me? You know, and I didn't have a yellow shirt that said, please pray for me or anything like that. Brown shirt. And she goes, no, the guy behind you. So I stood up, and she began to unpack this word that to me stands as a rock that I constantly look back to remember how kind and faithful the Lord is. She just began to speak of where I was heading and what the Lord was doing. And though I was in this really tough season, what God had in store for me in the future was way, way greater than what I experienced in the past. And I remember just standing there going, there's, I don't know how many people here, Lord, and you choose to pick me out of this group and cement this word in me that I've always hold on to. And there's been other times that has happened. But it was one of those things that I set up as a rock, as a remembrance to go, man, I'm not going to forget that. And I constantly look back at those kind of words to remember. You know, there's times when we're facing a giant hill or a mountain, or there's a circumstance in front of us, and we go, how do I push through this? And it seems like each one we come on, you go, oh, this is way bigger. This is way wider, you know, and this is so much taller. It blocks out the sun, you know. And but the Lord's always, the Holy Spirit goes, hey, look back. And I find myself glancing back like this, and what's laid on the path behind me is the trophies of a mighty God, mountains split in two, things that have melted, and I'm reminded about how kind and faithful and trustworthy he is. Then you look back at the mountain, you're like, come on, bring your worst, you know. It's just the kindness of the Lord to do that. And when we're in that corporate setting where people are allowed to bring words and share things like that, like we benefit from here, man, there's something that happens. There's hope that's infused. Because prior to that word being said, I was good. But man, that inspired me to push forward. It gave me a view of down the road. I was able to look much farther than what I was able to see going into that. Realignment also infuses hope. And then the other thing I love about realignment is it reminds us who he is. And I don't know about you guys, but I need to be reminded all the time of how awesome and mighty and great and powerful and trustworthy and amazing my God is. Amen? It reminds us who he is. There was 2 weeks ago, Sheila gave a testimony about her finances. And in the testimony, she talked about how, you know, every time financial opportunity came up, she's like, I felt like I was standing too much. And the Lord gave her a plan and said, hey, the next 4 years, do this. And then he sped the whole thing up. He said, hey, we're going to speed that up. And it was within a year, a little over a year, that the financial freedom came that she had planned for. And I found myself sitting there. And my situation was, we felt like the Lord told us to do some things financially. And so I got rid of a vehicle. And I felt like he said, hey, put your property up for sale. So we put our property up for sale that we own. And it's been over a year now that the property's been on sale. And so you kind of go, yeah, this mountain's pretty big, you know, and you start to forget and you think, well, maybe it's because of this or that. But when Sheila gave that testimony, it reminded me of who God is. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to stand for this response. You know what? Expedite this, Lord. Sell this much quicker than it has. And that's what happens. When we're in the corporate gathering, we're reminded again and again of who he is. It can be a line in a song. It can be something that someone says, a statement they read, a scripture that's brought out, an encouraging word that somebody gives. But all of a sudden, it reminds us of how big and awesome and faithful God is. And if we're honest for a moment, sometimes in our own world, life can be difficult, it can be trying, and we're stuck seeing things from one perspective. But then we walk into the corporate gathering, and something happens, and boom. All of a sudden, we get a right perspective, hope's been infused, and we're reminded of who God is, a character that I need for the situation that I'm in as well. That good news? I love the corporate gathering. I want to share a testimony with you. This is hot off the press. I was so blessed by this. So 2 weeks ago, I received a word for a woman who's in her church, very new to the church. I asked her if I could share this today, and she said, that's fine. She's a single mom, very new to the church, and the Lord had given me a word to share with her. And so I wrote it down during worship, or I typed it on my phone. And so after worship, I got caught doing some things and talking with some people, and I was like, oh, I gotta find that lady. And so I looked around, and I was trying to find her, and I couldn't find her. And then I went to the back and looked, and she was getting in her car leaving. And so I thought, do I run after her? That might look kind of weird, you know. First time visitor leaving, and I'm running down the parking lot, hey, you know. So I thought, well, hopefully she'll come back. And so the next week, I was looking for her, didn't see her. And then I was talking with Greg, and we were just talking about guests. And he said, have you greeted that guest? We were just talking, and I looked, and it was her. And so I was like, oh, thank you. And he's like, oh, okay. So I go over to the lady, and I said, hey, you know, now I'm thinking, how do I explain this? I don't know if she's familiar with receiving a word. And I said, you know what, can I just share something with you that I felt like the Lord put on my heart? And she said, okay. And I said, you know, and I just started to speak. And honestly, the presence of God just fell. And she started welling up with tears. And I thought I was going to, you know, just ugly cry, you know, because the presence of God was like, whoosh. And in that moment, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to say something that, you know. And so I'm sitting there, and I said, I believe that what the Lord wants me to tell you is that you're standing on the threshold of a brand new season, and both doors are wide open. And it's not like the last. It's way better. And you're going to be amazed at what he does. And to prove this is so, I believe you're waiting for some kind of a result. And the Lord is going to wink at you this week with the answer of that result. I don't say things to people like, the Lord's going to wink at you, you know. I like that thought, but this is someone I don't even know. You know, they're like, okay. And so I just said, this is what I feel like the Lord's saying. She didn't say anything or, wow, that's amazing because my situation. She just said, hey, thank you for sharing that with me. So all week, it's just been on my heart, and I'm like, Lord, man, I can't wait to hear what happens. And so we come in, and I'm looking around during worship, and then when I stand up to preach, I see that she's in service. And so after service, I went over, and she was just sitting in her chair afterwards, waiting a little bit, and I walked up, and I sat down next to her. And she just kept looking straight, and because I was like, I got to know, you know, what was the wink? What was the wink? And so I said, hey, so how was your week? And she's just sitting there, and then I see tears start coming down the side of her face. And I didn't know any of what I'm about to share with you. And she said, you know, the word was really powerful. I realized that with this new season, I was like, I'm ready for this, Lord. I need a new season. And she said, it was just so refreshing. And I said, well, what about the result? I'm like, what about the result? And she said, I've struggled with cancer for so long, I can't remember how many years it's been. And I had just, they checked me out and they found a mass that they needed to go in and remove. And she said, I was, you know, I didn't want to have to go through another surgery. There's things that I want to do. And she said, that week, you spoke to me Sunday. She goes, that week I got notification that the mass had shrunk, like to this tiny little thing. And they ran this test, and she has no cancer in her body whatsoever. So now she's crying, I'm crying. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so she's sharing with me. She goes, this has been an unbelievable week. She said this that really blessed me. She said, I feel like I found all the unopened emails from God. They were just sitting there, and I was just like, oh my gosh. So I want to pause for a moment. Because I feel like anytime we share a testimony, there's the opportunity for us to say, would you do it again? So for those of you that are waiting for a result, I don't care what the result is. It could be physically. It could be a doctor thing. It could be an application you sent. It could be a raise that you're waiting to hear back on. It could be a job promotion. It could be anything. If you are waiting for a result, I want to ask the Lord to answer your result with a wink as well, just like he did for that single mom. If that's you, would you just stand where you're at and give me the opportunity to pray for you? Father, we thank you so much for just that amazing testimony of your choice to show up for that woman and to just radically transform her week and her day and her life. And so as we stand before you knowing that testimonies are an opportunity for us to say, Lord, would you do it again in my life? For this circumstance, would you cause a result? Lord, I pray for every single person who's standing in this room that has a result that's waiting for them. Lord, would you give them a wink this week? God, would you allow the result to come with favorable action? Lord, for those that are waiting for jobs, those who are waiting for raises, whatever it may be, God, would you move on their behalf in such a way that when it happens, they know that that's a wink from you. So, Father, over sickness, over results from doctors, we just declare favorable results in Jesus' name, far above and beyond we could ever ask or imagine. And, Lord, I pray the testimonies that would bring glory to your name would just flood in because of your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you could do me a favor by this, when you get your wink this week, would you let us know, email us, let me know, let one of the elders know, hey, this is what happened this week. I stood up and we did this because it just feels like this is something that the Lord wants to do. He wants to restore things through results that you're waiting on. And so I can't wait to hear those. So the Lord brings realignment. The second thing that happens is there's a corporate anointing that we get to be involved in when it comes to corporate worship. In Acts 4:28, Peter and John were out preaching. I'm going to kind of move through this one quick, but and basically they were preaching and sharing the gospel, and the Sanhedrin pulled them in to question them because they were turning things around, and they said they could tell that they were not unschooled, ordinary men, that there was something special about them. And so as a result, they didn't know what to do because they felt if they punished them, that it wouldn't go well and there'd be this craziness. So they brought him in and they said, hey, stop it. Just stop it. Can't do this anymore. So what they did is they went back to the gathering of the saints, and they shared that testimony with them. And then they began to pray together as a corporate body. And this is what took place, and this is what I want to focus on. Acts 4:28. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What an amazing thing that happens. Because one of the things that happens with the corporate anointing is we all receive like this singular focus. It's like the Lord goes, hey, everyone, right here. So Peter and John are the ones that go through, you know, them telling them stop talking this and stop doing this. They bring it back to the body. And what they do is they all gather together. They stand together and they go, we're going to pray. And what happens as a result, not just the shaking, which is cool, but what happens is it says they all go out and preach the word of God boldly. They all get to go out filled with the Holy Spirit and preach the word of God boldly. See, when we come together, there's an opportunity for the Lord to bring a focus for us that we all can get on the same page. There's a corporate anointing that happens, and I can't experience that on my own. There's that among us. We got to be among us so that we can experience the among us. And sometimes, this is what's funny, sometimes we know it and sometimes we don't. Sometimes the Lord is speaking to us all through music or whatever it may be, and we're all thinking or feeling the same thing. And it could be the Lord just saying, I want you to know that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Or like this morning, I'm the way maker. You tell me where you want a way, I'm going to blast through the mountain. I'm going to blast through those things. I'm going to make a way. And we all get honed in on the same focus because that's something that he wants to do. So one of the things you can see, like in fighting battles, we get to fight battles in corporate worship. There's times where the Lord just begins to focus. This, we're not going to stand for this, or we want this to be released in our city. And so corporately, it's just this, I don't know how to explain it, it's like a honing in to focus. The Lord goes, hey, I want focus on this, and he brings us all to the same place. Sometimes it's very clear. Sometimes someone will administrate it and go, hey, I feel like the Lord's saying this, and let's all focus on this. So we fight battles together in worship, tear things down to release things. And the other thing that can happen in the corporate anointing is also the Holy Spirit calls people up into leadership, to be encouraged, to called into ministry. Look at Acts 13:1-3. Now the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, it goes through this whole list. And then he says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work in which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed hands and they sent them off. So in a meeting together where they were all there worshiping and praying and fasting, the Lord said, hey guys, this is what I need. I need Barnabas and Saul to go do this. And then they go, all right, then that's what we're going to do. And it's one of the things that can happen in the corporate setting where the Lord begins to speak and call out people into direction, into leadership, into callings on their life. You know, for me, having that one lady speak, and when I was sitting back there, man, that was very eye-opening for me and where the Lord wanted me to go. I didn't have a hope in a future. I thought, I'll just survive this moment. I mean, you guys have ever been there? I'm just going to survive this moment. That's where I was. I'm just going to survive this. And it opened up a whole new perspective. I didn't create you to survive. I created you to go down there. And you look with wide open eyes like, oh my gosh. So those things can be called out in the corporate worship as well. The third area that I want to talk about, and this is just a great one. I've already shared some stories about it, but is corporate worship. Why? Because the body functions with gifts. We were created as a body to function in gifts, spiritual gifts, grace gifts, manifestation gifts. We were created for that. And each one of us is uniquely gifted differently, but no more important or less than the other one. And I like to use it like this. We're all an instrument, right? Every single one of us is in an instrument. And I feel like the Holy Spirit, he's the one who gets to lead the orchestra. So when we gather together, it's orchestra time. When we're away and I'm by myself, I can play my instrument and do the things I need to do, but there's something amazing that takes place when every single one of the instruments gather together to be an orchestra. We were in first service, I used the analogy of a tuba, doing a tuba solo. And so everyone was like, do you play the tuba? Could you bring that and show us? We weren't sure. And but truth of it is, with everything together, and maybe a tuba is a good thing to have a solo with, or maybe it is, but when you have everything together and each one doing its thing, oh my gosh, it's an amazing sound. My daughter plays drums. Caitlin plays drums in school. And, you know, part of their orchestra thing is they have a set, and sometimes she plays the set. But if they have the people, they'll have one person play the snare and another person play the cymbals, and you could play the toms. And they actually pull that whole set apart and make the same noise by everyone else playing it. It's pretty amazing. And you see this whole group together. Well, when we gather together on a Sunday like this in the corporate setting, it's like the Holy Spirit sitting there, takes his wand, taps, hey, everyone, ready? And then he starts to go, hey, share the scripture. Let's sing these songs. And part of it's happening all week. He's prompting a worship leader. You know, this song's really a lot. Let's do this song. And we're looking at what are we going to be preaching on? And everyone's bringing their element, but it doesn't just stop on the stage. It's all of us being able to participate together in the same way because we're all instruments. So then during worship, he goes, Sheila, would you share this? And so-and-so, you need to tell this. And then forget about during the service, just before where someone goes, man, an amazing thing happened this week. I got to share it with you. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's the same situation. And the Holy Spirit's just going around, da-da, ba-ba, you know, and this whole thing. I just envision this passionate conductor going around just so excited. And anybody with me or am I all by myself? Okay, good. About to start doing more of it, and I'm like, oh, I look like a crazy guy up here. But the Holy Spirit leads the orchestra, and he's the best one at it. And all day long, from the moment the first person gets here till the last person leaves, man, he's playing a melody. He's playing a melody that sometimes involves all of us, and sometimes it's just the horns, sometimes it's just the flutes, but there's this beautiful melody that's being played for the transformation of people's lives, to be encouraged, to be spurred on, and to experience the character of God in the way that he wanted us to see it. It's an amazing thing. Holy Spirit leads the orchestra. The other thing that I think is pretty cool is that everyone gets to bring something. So in Acts 4:31, it says, what then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. I love the diversity in what he says, because it gives us the ability to bring it. So does that mean I have to get up here and sing a song? Not necessarily. It can be an encouragement word that's out there. You could just go up to somebody. You know what I appreciate about you? Speaking of word of appreciation, what I love to do, remember I said I get inspired by corporate worship. What I love to do is before I get here or to any gathering, I always ask the Lord, what do you want me to bring? What instrument do I get to play today? What do you want me to carry in? And, if he doesn't give it to me before, or sometimes I know a couple days out, sometimes I don't. And I'm coming in, the word that I shared with you earlier, I got during worship. The Lord told me a color of a shirt, and then he said, write this down. As soon as I saw her, he said, that's her. And I knew, it came during worship. Sometimes it'll come during the message. It's just various things. All of a sudden, the Lord says, boom. But I always ask, what do you want me to bring? I want to be a part of this orchestra today. I want to play my instrument until people go, shh. You know, I want to be a part of this. And the beauty of it is every single one of us gets to play a part in this. So what would it look like if we all came on a Sunday morning and said, Lord, what do you want me to bring? What scripture can I share? What symbol can I gong? What can I share with someone? Who can I encourage? What word do you want me to share? What song can I sing? And maybe even just stand there looking around the room like I do sometimes and go, what do you got for me, Lord? What do you got for me? What would it look like if we did that every Sunday? What would it begin to look like in our city? Be transformation. We'd be filled with joy. We'd be excited. It's inspiring. It becomes contagious. And we're all just bringing the part we bring. It doesn't have to, it doesn't have to look like anybody else's instrument that they use, right? I always like to say this, be yourself because everybody else is taken. They are. Just be you. Bring what the Lord gives you to bring. And don't measure the greatness or the smallness of it based on what other people are doing. Just be you. Bring what the Lord has you to bring. So body functions with gifts. The Holy Spirit leads the orchestra and we each get something to bring. And then lastly, we spur one another on. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, the among us doesn't happen unless we're among us. If we give up meeting together, we lose the among us. And I think it's God's design. There's something amazing that takes place every single time that we get to gather. And everyone brings their piece in part. Guys, I mean, just being honest for a minute, there's times when things don't work out the way on the way to work. One of you cut me off, and I'm like, hey, no, I'm just kidding. Something happens, right? And you're walking in the door, and you're focused on things that it's not like you're angry and pushing everyone down, or it's just you're walking in, and your focus is a little astray. And I love how kind the Lord is to have somebody greet you or share scripture with you or just say, man, I'm so glad you're here today, or worship takes off, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, this is what I needed, or the message, or whatever. But we all come in one way, and through what God wants to orchestrate, we leave another way. And a lot of that happens through one another, for us spurring one another on. You're a vessel that God wants to use to help somebody else leave with a clear understanding of how much God loves them. Guaranteed. However that looks, but I guarantee that's one of the things that he wants to do. So we spur one another on. So why do we do corporate worship? Because we want to create an atmosphere for transformation that's led by the Holy Spirit. We want him to be the conductor. We want him to conduct however he wants to, whether it's everyone into one thing or a little here, a little there, but we want him to be that conductor. And why do we gather regularly? So we can experience realignment. So we can walk into the corporate anointing. And each of us can function is in the gifts as he leads. So in closing today, I want to do this. I'm going to invite Hannah to come up. And she's going to play on the keyboards for us. And I want us to do something. You know, anytime we're closing, or when I'm closing a message, it's always like, Lord, how do you want to do this? And what? How do we wrap this all into the place that becomes applicable to me so that I could go, man, you know what? I know the why for corporate worship. I want to be a part of this more than I ever have. I want to see the things. Because for me, it's fun for me on a Sunday morning. And not speaking up here, I don't mean like that. I mean just interacting and talking and listening and hearing testimonies and encouraging people, and whether it's just, hey, it's so good to see you, or it's, man, this is what the Lord spoke to me for you, or whatever it may be. But today, what I want us to do, I'd love for us, not like a greeting time, but I want to end today with us just encouraging each other, speaking a word of appreciation. So the Bible says to encourage one another as long as today is called today. Last I looked, it's still today. So I want us to kind of close in this, not necessarily with a prayer response, but an opportunity that each one of us would just find somebody else before you leave the room. Could be someone next to you, could be someone across, and just encourage them. Play your instrument, if I may, in the corporate gathering. You can encourage, you can spur one another on. If there's a scripture you've been reading, share it with them. If there's a word you have for someone, find them and share it with them. But what I'm going to do is take the next 30 seconds, and Hannah's going to play, and we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us something to share. And again, like I said, it could be saying hi to someone, glad to see you, a word. I don't want to put too many things out there. There's a saying that I have with my, I coach a softball team, it's a saying I have with the girls. And I just say, you be you, do what you do. And that's what I want to say to everyone today. You be you and do what you do. So let's just close our eyes and listen to the Lord. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Everyone, if you could stand. And we're going to take like the next 2 minutes, 3 minutes, because you can do this anytime you gather corporately. But today we're going to take the next 2 or 3 minutes. And I just want you to consider what the Lord would have you share to someone. Go to them and share it. But don't leave. We're going to do this for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we're going to close the service. But if you're going, man, I don't feel like the Lord gave me anything or whatever, just greet someone. Give them a hug. How's your week? Can I pray for you? Whatever. Let's just take this time right here. Stay in the room and go share those things. Show appreciation. Go for it.